Welcome to the Venus Index podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Judy Rabel, and she came in sixth place in our latest transformation contest. So, Judy, welcome. Thanks for being on the call. Anyone who's listening on iTunes, head over to venusindex.com to check out her pictures. And you already said you have an interesting story for us, so for your how you found us, so let's get into that.
I do. For the entirety of my 30s, I did nothing but super intense competitive martial arts. Like, I went all the way to fourth degree black belt. I spent my entire 30s, an entire decade, doing martial arts. And during that time, I trained a lot with my sister, who's a in her 50s and was one of the first female personal trainers in North Carolina that actually trained people to do powerlifting and bodybuilding. And she trained me during my martial arts, the first half of my martial arts years, and did martial arts with me. And
she trained you in, like, powerlifting and stuff like that, bodybuilding?
Yes.
Okay.
Powerlifting while I was doing martial arts.
Oh, that's cool.
And her approach to it was, first you stabilize your joints, then you work on explosiveness, then you work on power. And that was how she trained me. So I did a lot of band work, a lot of joint stabilization kind of things. Then she said, okay, you're ready. We're moving on. And I have the endurance of a 14-year-old African long distance runner. I can go forever cardio-wise. But I had almost no strength. She used to tell me that I had concentration camp arms. My forearms or my wrists are just itty bitty bitty. So she said, it's time for you to start working on your power. Her idea of working on my power was to take a rope out into the parking lot, hook it up to a truck and say, okay, let's see how far you can pull it. I'm not kidding you. That was her idea of how you work on power. She is the physically strongest human being I have ever met and the spiritually strongest human being I've ever met. She used to warm up chest press, single hand dumbbell chest press, 90 pounds each. Not kidding. I mean, people in the gym were just like, are you kidding me? I've never seen anything like this. I couldn't barely do 15 pound dumbbells, chest press dumbbells. So it was very awkward for me to work out with her. It was very intimidating. And she said, Judy, it's weight. It goes up, it goes down. You are where you are. The only place you have to go is better. So when I see ladies chest pressing with 10-pound dumbbells or 15-pound dumbbells, that's always in the back of my mind. I want to jump in there and say, pick up a 25-pound dumbbell. I'll spot you. Oh, you know, it goes up, it goes down. What do you have to lose? And so, you know, when I go into the gym now, I grab like 45-pound dumbbells to do chest press with, say, for example. And, you know, guys will look at me like, hey, you need me to help you with that? And I'm like, hey, sure, you can stand here next to me if you want to. And they're like, oh, well, you didn't need any help with that. I said, no, I wouldn't have grabbed it if I thought I needed any help with it. So the whole, she totally, totally changed my perspective on what weightlifting for women is supposed to be like in the gym. And we got so many looks. She was so powerful that I kind of always fell into the shadow of her because she was so strong. And that's fine. And it's okay. It's okay to be with somebody that is better than you in something because it pushes you to be better. But when it came to cardio, vascular type exercises, I can go run a marathon. She might struggle to run a mile. We're just very different in what we're good at. We used to joke and say, put us together and you would have one perfect person. One time when we were in the gym, this huge black man was working out there, a police officer here in town. He was so nice. And my arms were coming in nicely and I was real slim from doing all the Taekwondo. And he said, oh, I love your arms. Can I have them? And I said, no, ma'am, I'm sorry. These babies only come in white. I mean, it was just a joke. We became hugely part of the whole dynamic at the gym. They were like, oh, here come Cindy and Judy, you know, and the guys kind of took us under their wing. So I had a really different perspective on weight training coming into everything than maybe some of the other ladies did just because of who I trained with. Mm. Well, then Cindy got hurt by a chiropractor. It was no fault of her own, totally tore her shoulder up. She had to stop doing Taekwondo. She had to stop training. She had to stop working out in the gym, which is what defined her, which is what her life was. And she got to the point where she didn't want to train me anymore either because it was too hard for her to be in the gym and not be able to do the things she loved. I switched to a new Taekwondo school because I couldn't be there without her. And one thing led to another, and all of a sudden, I start getting hurt all the time. I tested for my third degree black belt with my adductor torn in two places. I was hurt.
What was causing that?
Because I wasn't, I really think it's because I wasn't training with her anymore.
Were you not training at all or just not with her?
Not training at all.
Oh, so you were doing Taekwondo without any strength training to go with it.
Yes, because I didn't know how to train myself.
So in all that time with her, you sort of, it was okay when she was there, but you didn't think you could do it on your own?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. So I would walk into a gym and I would be like, oh, I know how to do this, and oh, I know how to do that, and well, maybe I could put these things together and walk out of here. But it's intimidating to go to the gym by yourself when you're used to always being there with somebody who knew what was going on, who knew what the etiquette was, and who could take care of me and guide me.
Would you have even guessed that would have happened? You know what I mean? Like, once she was gone, would you have anticipated that you would be like, wait a minute, I'm still a little intimidated by the whole concept of lifting weights without essentially a coach, like when your coach wasn't there anymore?
I didn't think about it until she was gone.
Yeah.
And then it was like, my goodness, what am I going to do in here? And so I quit going to the gym for almost a year and just did my martial arts training. Now, when I say martial arts training, I know people in their heads are maybe thinking I went to a 45-minute class and kicked a little bit and stuff. That was not how we trained. It was full contact, hour to an hour and a half long classes, back to back. I mean, sometimes we would take them back to back.
How many days a week were you there?
Seven.
So, oh, really? It's every day. Okay. And then... So for that entire year, okay, so is that the year that leads up to Venus, or?
Yes.
Okay, so then how do you get back into the gym?
So I'm getting hurt at Taekwondo and getting hurt, and it's broken bones, it's torn muscles, it's bruises. It's a contact sport, and we did full-on contact sparring, including kicks to the head. My training partner at Taekwondo is a 6-foot-tall blonde Amazon who I, to this day, still love. And finally, one day, I was at the school, and they gave us an option to leave. They said, if you're not happy, get up right now and walk out. So I looked to my left. I looked to my right. I stood up, and I said, I take it. I'm out. And no one could believe it because I was the only person that did it. I said, I am out of here. And I got up, and I walked out, and I've never been back. And that's just kind of how it just had crumbled for me after 10 years of it crumbled for me. So that was...
Well, your body's like falling apart around you. You got to do something.
I was always hurt. I would wake up in the morning hurt, and I would go to bed hurt. And there was no point during the day where I didn't feel like I was hurting. And you have to understand, I'm in my 40s now when all this is going on, and I just don't heal up. These injuries are just nagging.
I know how that feels, yeah.
I got turf toe one time so bad that the doctor said NFL players that don't have the extent of turf toe that you do, their careers are over.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just miserable.
Turf toe sucks.
All my...
Oh, I know. Is that the first time you had turf toe?
Yes.
Yeah, it's horrible, yeah.
I mean, you can't walk. You can't do anything. So that was January of 2011. Mm-hmm. And I slowly made my way back into the gym and fell in love with yoga at that point. I really fell in love with yoga. And I had been doing some spin classes before that, which I really enjoy. I like a group class setting. I was conditioned over 10 years to exercise with people around me. I was conditioned over 10 years to exercise in the gym with somebody right there with me telling me what to do.
Right, yeah.
So come January, I haven't been back into the gym other than to do some yoga, and I tried a couple of classes, group classes, and I have tremendous exercise ADD. The Les Mills body pump, body flow, where you do the same classes every time you go for 6 weeks until they change the master class. I would rather go dig holes than take those classes for 6 weeks. They just mentally make me insane. There's perfectly balanced classes, but I can't do the same thing over and over again. I got my iPhone and I started looking through podcasts. And the VI podcast popped up on What's New. And I was listening to about 10 of them at the time, trying to figure something out. And the first podcast of yours that I listened to was Overestimating and Underestimating Calories. Mm. And it was not from March. It was from before March.
Yeah, it's just like an old one, yeah.
Yeah. And so I listened to that and I thought, weird, because now mind you that when I was full-time doing Taekwondo all the time, I weighed between 120 and 126 pounds. Between my year of not working out in the gym and the couple of months that I didn't do Taekwondo or work out in the gym, I'm 5'5", and I got up to 168 pounds. I was a tight 12 at that point. And I knew that my joints were all hurting, not just from the abuse from Taekwondo, but my joints were all hurting from being that heavy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to do, because when I trained with my sister, it was, she would, no joke, I'm not kidding you, pound a Gatorade mixed with chocolate protein powder before we worked out. And I called it swamp water because it looked like this disgusting greenish blue stuff. You know, and she would always push the, you have to eat before you work out because you're going to run out of gas. You have to eat. We would work out for an hour and a half, go eat, come back and work out for another hour and a half. I mean, we did that all the time, split our workouts up with some food in between. So I had this idea that I burned a million calories at Taekwondo.
And then another million during your workout.
Another million during my workout. My sister says I have to eat this and drink that. And there's nothing wrong with the way that she eats or drinks, but she was eating and drinking her stuff to be bigger, to be stronger, to be more muscular, whatever. With everything that I was doing, I maintained in the 120s quite easily. As soon as I stopped doing all of that stuff, my eating didn't miraculously change. Mm-hmm. My calories.
Yeah, but you know, there's research on that, eh? When people get used to training a certain way, especially like a lot like you did, and then they normalize their calories to that, and you can maintain just fine. As soon as you take the training away, the calories, there's no trigger that goes off in our head to tell us, oh, maybe we need to eat less. We're just still accustomed to that eating style. So you actually have to think about it, otherwise you'll stay there for a while.
Well, I can tell you, I gained 30 pounds in not a very long amount of time.
So you probably just maintained your eating pattern exactly, and minus all that extra exercise.
Yes, and instead of the protein shakes, I would have a glass of wine or three with dinner, you know, whatever. I would have dessert. I would have French fries because, you know, I could always eat French fries. We would leave Taekwondo after an hour and a half, and we would go to the Mexican restaurant. Man, we would kill that basket of chips. And I didn't show it. It didn't register in my head that, oh my gosh, there's something wrong here.
Well, this is an example of doing enough training to almost eat whatever you want. But most people have never get to that level of training where they're going hours and hours a day. But if you get to that level, yeah, you can trick yourself into thinking, oh, food doesn't matter. Like, you just eat whatever you want, right?
Oh, I was totally tricked into that, completely and utterly gobsmacked when all this weight started coming on, and I was like, oh, and I did the typical female thing. It's my thyroid. It's my this. I got a good thing. I totally went down that road, and I actually ended up trying Weight Watchers before the new program, and it was fairly successful for me.
Yeah.
I did.
Is that the first time you've attempted to count a calorie with Weight Watchers?
Yes. Yes. And the shocking thing for me was how little food I could actually eat.
Oh, yeah. It's a long way down, especially after the way you were eating.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And there were certain things like emergency and BCAAs and different supplementy things that I was taking before that all of a sudden I was adding up all the calories on it and I couldn't fit them into my points for Weight Watchers and get enough to eat. It was crazy. So, you know, here I am 30 pounds heavier, not doing martial arts, not working out in the gym, doing some spin classes and doing some yoga, and fairly miserable with how I looked and how I felt. And so I started listening to podcasts, and yours was the first one that I listened to that actually sort of, you know, it kind of made me a little angry. I'm not gonna lie about it. It made me a little bit angry.
Okay, let's have it. I'm listening.
It made me a little bit angry because all those 10 years of hearing you have to eat, you have to eat, you have to have your pre-workout, your post-workout, your snack, your this, your that, and thinking that was what I had to do, and then all of a sudden to have someone say, you don't have to do any of that. In fact, that doesn't even make any sense. That's just way too much. And when you've done something for 10 years and someone just very casually, very carte blanche, very black and white tells you that what you've been doing is wrong, it made me a little mad.
So did you actually continue listening to us after that?
Yes. I said, these guys.
Who are these arrogant jerks? I want to listen some more.
I said, you know, I'm pretty smart for a girl, and it can't be that easy. I'm going to go listen to some more of what they have to say, and I'm a lawyer, and I'm good at arguing, and I'm going to figure out where the flaw in all this is. I'm going to call that John Barbin and tell him.
I wish you did. That would have been a fun argument.
No, I'm not really that person. Oh. I'm not an argumentative person, but anyhow, it made me a little bit angry. It really did.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that. Alicia said that about a podcast I did. She didn't like what I said. I'm sure there's going to be somebody else who I've made a little bit angry. So at what point did you actually think we weren't just doing that to get a rise out of people and we were serious?
Well, see, what I wanted you to do was to hold my hand and break it to me gently. I didn't want you to just hand it to me so black and white.
Oh, yeah, you see, I don't do that.
I needed it to be a little more nurturing because I am still feminine sensibilities.
Right. Is there? Well, okay. Then what's the simple way to do that? What's the more hand holding way to do? I thought I do hold people's hand. No, I don't.
Well, at that point, I guess I was just so tender.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
I was tender and so insecure that having it dished out to me in such a black and white way and completely not expecting it, because you have to understand, this was the first podcast I heard off the new list off of iTunes,
right,
so
no,
I didn't know what to expect.
Sure.
And then here it was, you and Brad kind of going back and forth about calories and eat half a candy bar and throw it away, and I'm like, what? Waste a perfectly good candy bar? That's blasphemy. Come on. So anyhow, I did listen to a few more, and finally I decided, well, you know, they kind of are handing this to people the way that I would hand advice in a family law case to people without getting myself emotionally attached to it. You know, just very, this is how it's going to be. I thought, well, you know, that's kind of maybe how I would do it too. So I'm going to listen to a few more. And then I listened to a few more. And then I bought the first phase one, Venus phase one. And I started doing it. And I showed it to my sister and I said, man, we never trained like this, because we had leg day, we had back day.
Yeah, you did splits, yeah.
We did splits. Yeah. We did bodybuilding, powerlifting kind of splits.
Yeah.
And the exercises that I was used to doing weren't on your program. Mm. There were no deadlifts. There were no leg presses. There were no pull-ups. There were no dips with chains wrapped around your waist.
Yeah.
The big power movements that I was used to doing, you didn't have those. So it made me a little bit concerned that I wasn't going to get enough work. Mm. Now, that looking back, I have to laugh at that, because there's certainly enough work. But at the time, it wasn't what I was used to doing.
Oh, yeah.
There were Russian twists. There were no, elevated feet up, 1 foot up push-ups. Crazy, crazy things that I had been doing in martial arts and with training So I called my sister and I said, hey, look, I just bought this program. Since we can't work out anymore, I just bought this program. Will you look at it and tell me what you think? And she looked at it and she said, wow, that's a lot of shoulders. I don't know. I don't think you should be doing shoulders that much. That's too often. And I thought, yeah.
Everybody says that when they see my stuff.
I said, yeah, you're right. Maybe I'll just skip the shoulders and do some other stuff. And, you know, because that's what I wanted to hear. I wanted her to say, yeah.
Did you skip them?
No, I'm not made that way. No, I'm not good at skipping.
You just did as it's laid out?
I did. And part of the reason is I don't have any rear delts genetically. I just don't. I have worked for 10 years to try to build my rear delts up. They won't build. They're just flat. I would love to be one of those women with the nice round shoulders, but I just can't.
Yeah.
I just can't. My rear delts just won't pop for whatever reason. So I started phase one, and I thought, you know, this is kind of going to be more cardio than hardcore training. Because seriously, John, we would load the leg press up, 10 plates on either side, 10 45-pound plates on either side, and we would be doing them for 7 to 10 reps. These two little 5-foot-tall women pressing this massive amount of weight. I did not think that bowler squats or split leg squats or curtsies were going to do any of the things for me that I had gotten from doing all of this really big work. So I was very skeptical, but I did it exactly as written. I did it 3 days a week. I kept my spinning and I kept my yoga. And here where I live in Winston-Salem is the headquarters for Metabolic Effects, the TITAs. Their diet plan and their exercise program. And they have a lot of Metabolic Effects classes free at my gym. And my son is best friends with Quentin, the nephew of one of the Titas. And so I was doing Metabolic Effects type classes at the same time as I was doing your program. So I kind of combined them all together. So basically what I did was I put myself back into training 7 days a week for 1 hour to 3 hours a day. Just like I did the entirety of my 30s. Fancy that, right?
Mm-hmm. I went right back to
my old habits.
Yeah. And so did you maintain that for the whole time?
For all of phase one, yes.
Okay.
All of phase one. And I lost from 168 pounds down to 155 pounds over the course of phase one. But during phase one, I got really, really sick. I mean, I didn't have energy. I was bloated. I had rashes. I had hair starting to fall out. And everyone's like, oh, you're stressing yourself out. You're working out too much. You're just doing too much. You need to cut back. And I was walking the dogs. I walked the dogs pretty much every day. And I sat down on the side of the road because I literally felt like my guts were on fire, like my intestines were going to explode. I looked like I was 4 months pregnant.
Did you have an infection?
I sat down on the side of the road and I just prayed. I said, please let someone let my son in. Please don't let my dogs get hit by a car because I'm going to die here on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Oh, I have wheat allergies. I am completely gluten intolerant.
Oh, so you were having a massive reaction.
Massive reaction to what I was eating. And my reaction isn't just limited to internal. Mm-hmm. I also break out on my skin. I get contact dermatitis.
So how long until you figured that? Like, did you go straight to the doctor and say, like, something's going on here? Like, did you get it diagnosed? How'd you figure it all out?
It was a very long process. Getting wheat allergies diagnosed is a very long process, and mostly it has to do with doctors don't understand that you have to be exposed to whatever it is you think that you're allergic to within a certain amount of time in a certain dosage before you'll show up as positive. So I went through a whole bunch of tests that came back negative.
Oh, right, yeah.
But I ate a piece of Papa John's pizza and the inside of my mouth, my tongue swelled up. I got blisters on my lips. And I was like, okay, well, there's something on this pizza. There's got to be something.
Oh, you never thought it was the wheat. You just thought it was like a topping?
I didn't know what it was.
Right.
I mean, it could.
But this has never happened before in your life, so you developed this.
Well, I've always been allergic to penicillin.
Uh-huh.
I've always been allergic to shrimp. And right after I had my son, I developed an allergy to smoked salmon. Go figure. We could never figure that one out.
That's
but smoked salmon.
Yeah. Pregnancy does some weird things. Yeah.
I still haven't eaten salmon. Maybe I won't be allergic to it anymore. But I'm also AB positive blood type, which the doctors say put me at risk for having more in the way of food allergies because I'm a newer evolutionary blood system. I have no idea if that matters or not. But
regardless, so, if you react, you react, right?
And I react badly. I mean, I made cupcakes for my son's football team, and just breathing the flour in from the cupcake package, my whole face was broken out. Wherever that flour touched me, my hands, my face, whatever, just in the air, I had big welts. So,
okay,
I mean, it's just...
So you eventually figured this out, and you cut the weed out, I'm assuming.
Yes, yes. And it was right at the end of doing phase one with all that other stuff that I was doing that I found out that it was actually a weed allergy. And they said I had leaky gut and all this other stuff. And
that,
you can't work out. You're at risk. You can't run. You can't do crunches. You can't crunch your body down. You can't do any of this stuff because you could cause yourself to have, what's it called, where you're... Where the food leaks into your gut and you get a real bad infection.
Oh, yeah, like a sepsis. Yeah, no, it's not good. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's not good.
So I had 6 weeks that I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
But I found out something about myself. I eat to maintain whatever weight I'm at, whether it's 168 pounds or 155 pounds. I naturally... Over that period of time, once I got rid of the inflammation from the swelling and everything, I will eat to maintain whatever weight I'm at. And so I started phase two the end of the summer of 2011. You know, I did my 6 weeks. You can't exercise. You can't do anything. I could do yoga, but I couldn't do hot yoga. I could only do regular yoga. And I had to be very careful when I twisted. There were a lot of limitations on what I could do. So finally, I got through all that, and I started phase two. And I went all the way through phase two completely uninterrupted. And I really liked it, except for the 21 rep series, which I just have to say, why? Why would you do that to us? Why? It's horrible.
Because it's good for you.
Why is it good for us? What exactly is good about it?
Because I said so.
Do
you want a better answer than that?
Yes,
oh,
I do.
Well, there's different styles of conditioning, no different than going for a slow run or a fast run or interval training. There's different types of endurance conditioning, and there's also different types of muscle conditioning. So that one is muscular endurance. That's different than endurance. Right, like so, you've got your cardiovascular endurance. That's like its own thing. The higher rep ranges, like, is called muscular endurance, and it specifically develops certain proteins in the muscle different than if you go heavier. So, and you can show that, like, clinically, that different parts of the muscle develop, and different fibers are activated depending on the rep range, and it also helps with other adaptations like the capillary density, how much blood can get to the muscle. So it's different than just being in the 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 rep range, and it's, you can show that it helps with the whole package of where you get to with your muscles. So that's why it matters. And most people leave that one out. Muscular endurance, they don't work on it at all.
Okay, so there's durability, there's endurance, there's flexibility, there's power, and there's explosiveness.
You've got explosiveness and power are kind of the same thing because they involve a speed element. Then there's pure strength, like maximum strength, which that's, you don't move that weight quickly. You just, it's as much as you can lift, and by definitions, it's also as slow as you can lift it. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's just straight up long duration endurance, but then coming back down from that and into like the 21 rep, you know, rep range, that's strength endurance. So it's endurance with a component of strength. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because obviously you could lift way lighter and just lift for hours. That's just pure cardiovascular. That's not strength endurance. You have to have some amount of weight to start for it to change the adaptation it's causing. And then durability is mixed in with all of that, like making joints more durable, making tendons thick. Like tendons grow too, right? But so it's, there's a lot of different things going on, and you also can become centrally fatigued or You can also become fatigued from a neuromuscular standpoint with any given rep range. So you can kind of like just sort of wear out or become bored with a rep range. So part of it's creativity and just keeping people interested.
Well, and for the people who haven't done phase two, understand that it's not just one set of 21. It starts off at like 5 and then 7 and then 12.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes up. By the time you're all said and done, you're doing, I think I added it up in my head one day, like 70 repetitions of it. So it's not just 21.
Yeah.
And there's a mental component to that, too, about keeping track of where you're at, how far you are into the pyramid, say, and which rep range you're on or not. And so I have a lot of time to sit there and think, what the hell am I doing this? And I like to know why I'm doing something.
Did I answer that, or do you need to know more?
Well, you said it's for muscular endurance, and I understand the muscular endurance only because I have seen how much the VI workouts have helped me do everything else that I want to do better.
Mm. Oh, okay. Like in like other things like yoga and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it help you with spin too? Do you still do spinning?
I do.
Yeah. It does. I don't know why it helps with running. It helps with everything. I don't know why people are so surprised when that happens.
It's surprising. Like I can do... in sun salutations in yoga, there's a chaturanga, which is basically a tricep push-up. I mean, basically, that's what it ends up being. And I can do way more of them than a lot of the other women can do that I wouldn't have been able to do before I finished the Venus stuff. I mean, it has really impacted my life in a great way. And I didn't even realize it at first. It was one of those things where it slowly creeped up on me, and I'm like, wow, I can do this.
Yeah. Well, okay, so then, and that was in when? The fall last year?
That was the summer.
Okay.
Maybe August, I think.
Okay, so then what did you do during the competition?
Well, so I finished phase two, and then you guys opened up the forums for free, whereas before it was you had to pay for it. Mm-hmm. You opened up the forums, and so I kind of dipped my toe into the water a little bit. But like we had discussed before, I'm not an emotional vomiter. I don't share a lot of what's going on in my head on a daily basis. It's mostly because it's so noisy and busy that it's hard for me to put it into words.
Oh, what's going on in your head? Yeah.
What's going on in my head? So I jumped into the forums and started blogging, and all of a sudden there was a group of ladies that get my humor. My humor is not for everybody. It's very, very much off key. But there was a group of ladies that got my humor that are like, oh my gosh, that made me laugh, or, you know, whatever. But I tend to be more of the... I tend to be more of the cheerleader kind of person. Do what you like. If you like doing something, then do it. Because I'm not going to get out of my bed at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym to do something that I don't like. I mean, if something motivates you and gets you there, do it. So I'm a little bit more of a cheerleader type when it comes to working out. Now, when it comes to logging my calories, I hate it. It reminds me of when I was practicing law and you had to keep track of every 6 minutes. You bill in tenths of an hour, which is 6 minutes, and I hated it. They used to have to sit secretaries on me to get me to do my billing. Mm. Food blogging is like that for me. So what I found on the forum was a group of ladies that would agree to nag me about my calorie counting if I would nag them about going to the gym. And one in particular, Alex, and I ended up being best friends. She's actually flying out in a couple weeks from California all the way here to North Carolina just to hang out with me for the weekend, just because we've gotten so close. And she was the queen of faster. She has the Eat, Stop, Eat. I only have the AGD, which I want to talk to you about a little bit too if we have time. And she started giving me challenges, fasting challenges. I bet you can't fast for 24 hours. And I'm like, I bet you I can. And, you know, she had the Eat, Stop, Eat stuff. And so she would be quoting Brad Pilon says this and Brad Pilon says that. And you're just now getting into fat burning zone. You need to keep going. And I would say, but Alex, I have my 14-year-old son and I need to have dinner with him. And she's like, excuses. You just need to do this. I bet you can't. And I'm like, girl, I hate that. I know I can, you know. So We ended up being best friends. She has a hard time getting to the gym, making time in her life to get to the gym, and I have a hard time logging my silly calories, which I know is necessary and required to be successful. And we ended up forming a friendship and a partnership that I hope that we keep for the rest of our lives, all in one forum.
Yeah, this keeps going on in the Venus Forum. I keep finding out afterwards all of what's going on. So, well, I'm glad that that's working out. I mean, I would have never guessed such a thing would have happened.
And it wasn't just Alex, though. I mean, there's Roberta. Mm-hmm. You know, she told me 101 times, I got stuck at 155 pounds, and no amount of fasting with Alex and no amount of logging my calories could get me off of that 155 pounds. And part of it probably is my food allergies. Mm. I don't digest things quite as well as other people do. I don't get my calories in quite the same way. Not that I'm a snowflake, but I do have digestive issues that maybe other people don't have. Mm-hmm. The same kinds of things. But Roberta told me 101 times, you have to trust the process. It's just like faith. You have to have faith and it will happen. If she had told me 100 times, maybe I wouldn't have believed it. But the 101 times she told me, all of a sudden I believed it.
So
and then things
go ahead.
Started moving.
Okay, and then so were you fasting or were you just doing AGD? Like, talk about that. Like, you said you were going to talk about AGD.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I also just have to say Leanne was one of my great texting buddies, and Naomi and Keturah ended up being great texting buddies too. Naomi, if anyone's on the forums and you have a question about anything, ask her because she has great answers, and if she doesn't have the answer, she'll look it up. Okay. So, I was so thrilled with the idea of Eat, Stop, Eat, although I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it, and I bought AGD instead. I mean, I had a choice financially at that point which way I wanted to go. And so I figured God took bread away from me, and I grieved it. I cried over it. It was horrible. I didn't know how I was going to live my life. But God helped someone that was going to tell me that I couldn't eat a potato because I've never met a potato I didn't like. You can't take things away from me when it comes down to food because I've already lost so much food out of my life. So the AGD, when you said eat whatever you want, just eat within your eat within this calorie range, completely appealed to me, and I jumped on it. I read your AGD manual probably 12 times through. I read it like literature. I printed it off on my computer. I kept it by my bed. I'd read a little bit every night. Positive brainwashing. I can do this. I understand where my calories need to be. I understand how to handle other people asking me. It was kind of like a your AGD manual is what got me through my loss of wheat grief, if that makes any sense to you whatsoever. Had it not been for AGD, I would probably still be really upset about not being able to eat bread.
Oh, I see what you're saying, because did you have, okay, so was it because you had a feeling there was nothing left to eat?
No, I just didn't want anyone to tell me I couldn't eat anything.
Oh, yeah, don't ever let anyone tell you that. That's silly.
I mean, but your manual was the first manual that said, don't let anyone tell you that you can't eat anything.
Oh,
and
okay.
We're actually
expanding the research on that section in the new... I just sent an email today right before we called. There's a whole whack load of research sort of supporting... You know how we say, like, don't do good food, bad food lists?
Right.
We came up with that intuitively just because with people we worked with, based on observation, that seemed to be a problem. But then we didn't know this, but there's like a 30-year body of psychological research proving why the minute you label something as bad, you're in trouble, and why good food, bad food lists cause a huge problem. And so the researcher is actually just in the next city over here. She's in Chicago now, but she was in Toronto. Anyways, we're just putting in a whole new chapter in the new AGD version explaining why that's like even more of a robust, solid theory than we thought. So... yeah, I guess.
You pulled me out of my wheat grief.
Well, I'm glad that
so
worked for you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay,
You
so
didn't
then
even know that. You didn't even know that that was going to happen,
well, I
right?
didn't know there was such thing as weak grief until you brought it up. That's
hey, when you lose something that you grow up with, your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you know, it's your muffin. What if I said, John, you can't ever have a muffin again?
That'd be pretty sad.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Right? So Alex talked me into doing these fasting, the fasting, and which was really good for me because I hate working out with any food on my stomach. I hate it. I get heartburn, indigestion. I hate it. So finally, for the first time, someone was saying that I didn't have to have my pre-workout meal and I didn't have to have my post-workout meal, and I can just eat whenever I got truly hungry, which was such a blessing. And the doctors were saying to me too, you know, don't eat, let your, you know, fast, let your system settle down, let this inflammation go down, just
exactly.
drink.
I was just about to say, you got to let the inflammation come down.
Drink lots of water with ginger and lemon, lots and lots of water. Drink some caffeine because caffeine's good to, you know, dehydrate you a little bit, pull some of the water out of your tissue.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm a coffee addict. I get on the forums usually in the morning while I'm drinking my cup of coffee. And if someone told me I can't have my cup of coffee in the morning, literally, it would be the beginning of the zombie apocalypse. I'm not kidding. And so when Alex told me to fast for 24 hours and I said, there's no way that I'm doing without my coffee. That would be the end of the world. She said, well, it's okay. You can get about 100 calories in. Like, you can eat a pickle. There's more, you burn more calories eating the pickle than are in the pickle kind of thing. So she was just great. She really got me through it. But honestly, the fasting doesn't work for me for weight loss, not because I do compensatory eating because I was tracking my calories, but my digestive system is in such a state of disrepair that I'm still a little bit of a snowflake as I'm coming out of all of this.
So you discovered that and it doesn't work. So what then? How did you structure things?
Well, I fast pretty much from dinner until the early afternoon. Sometimes I'll go until my son comes home from school at 2. Sometimes I'll eat a little bit sooner if I have lunch plans. But I just don't worry about eating in the mornings anymore. I don't feel any pressure to eat in the mornings, and I love it.
So you have a coffee and that's it?
Coffee, yes.
Yeah, you're like me. I have a coffee and a snack, and that's about it.
Well, a coffee for me is like half a pot, mind you.
Oh,
but
right. Well, I have two in the morning, and then one in the morning, one like sort of midday, and then I kind of start eating towards the end of the day.
And I like a little bit of coffee in my cream and sugar, so it's not exactly like it's a low calorie.
It's one of those. Yeah.
So I'm getting some calories, although I do use.
That's fair. That's fine.
So as long I could do the fasting with Alex, and I actually went all the way out to 48 hours, and it really wasn't that bad for me. Fasting does two things. One, it lets my system settle down. And two, it creates a bigger window that I don't have to worry about logging my daggum food, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a problem for you, yeah.
Which is a problem for me.
So that was more or less your pattern for the contest?
Yes, and I lost 1 pound every 10 to 14 days. And I'm still losing 1 pound every 10 to 14 days.
That's really good and consistent.
Very. Wasn't good enough for the competition. I didn't lose enough.
You know what? We're changing that. We're adding in a 20-week competition now for that exact reason. But because the thing is, we didn't want to – what you're doing is going to be very, very sustainable. And that's good for the rest of your life, right? And I guess we kind of arrived at the idea that we were sort of talking out of both sides of our mouth. We're like, with the reverse taper and the kind of that whole theory is to take it a little bit slower for sustained weight loss, but then enter a 12-week competition and try to crush it, right? So it's kind of doesn't – the two things are incompatible depending on where you want to get to. So that's why we added in a longer division with more time so people could like draw it out over 20 weeks instead. So, but that's good. I'm glad it's like very – and does it feel like lower effort, like sustainable? Like, you know what I mean?
It does. I still have a really hard time logging my calories. I just have a mental block against it. I don't know why.
Oh, you know why.
I do.
It's the billing every 6 minutes.
It is. For me, it is. So, you know, the ladies on the forum really helped me, and Naomi really helped me a lot with this. She said, well, just eat the same thing every day. You know, that's
pretty. We all do anyways. Once you know them once, you're set.
I actually am a really good cook, not to toot my own horn, but I'm a really good cook. And becoming gluten-free, I have had to learn how to make things for my family that are gluten-free that still taste really good. And part of it for me is trying to log a recipe in. When I put a handful of this in or I put a dash of that in, hard to put that recipe
out. You're one of those. I do that too. I can never tell you what I've cooked. I just toss it in and have a rough idea. But I don't measure. Yeah.
Exactly. So then I just kind of have to look up something on like MyFitnessPal, which a bunch of the Venus ladies are on there. Yeah. I have to try to kind of guess or wiggle around, and all of a sudden that seems like work. And people look at me, you know, ladies on the forum look at me. They can look at you with a tone of voice and what they're typing to you. Like, gee, it takes 5 seconds. What's wrong with you? And I'm like, that is 5 seconds of my life lost that I'll never get back.
Yeah, you and me both. I refuse to use measuring cups in the kitchen. I have them all, and the little teaspoon thing, I might have used them once, and then I refuse. If I screw it up, I'll start over, but I'm with you. It's some sort of psychological, I just cannot bring myself to measure.
Well, and a lot of ladies have great recipes for different fitness competition style diets, like the cake made with the seltzer water and stuff, but I can't use a lot of powders. I can't use a lot of mixes because they have gluten in them, including protein powder. Even Advil liquid gels, which were my go-to when I was hurt all the time, make me sick as a dog because the capsule is all gluten. It's all wheat gluten.
And this all just happened like all at once, right?
Well, I think it had been happening for a while,
right,
but it
it's
was
not like you had this when you grew up. Like it,
no,
like it came on towards, you know, in the last chunk of your life. All right, so then
it came on in my 40s.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't think people realize they can develop this severe of an allergy. You can develop allergies; they can come and go. I don't think people realize that. You can just start expressing one way.
Here's the funny thing: you have said in podcasts before that people have to have a diet identity. They have to identify, I'm paleo, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other.
You're celiac, and it happened to you.
People say to me, Judy, it's not fair. You can lose weight so easy because you can't eat all that stuff that you're not supposed to eat. And I just look at them like, are you kidding me? Do you know what a hard time I have going to family dinners and restaurants? What a bore people think I am. Are you kidding me with this?
That's a very non-empathetic way of viewing having a gluten allergy.
They're like, I'm so jealous. I wish I had a gluten allergy so I could lose weight like you are. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Really? I can find 5,000 calories a day to eat in peanut butter alone that doesn't have any gluten in it. Right. So give me a break, people. I mean,
do you ever hear that one? There's a super rare condition where people are born with no fat cells, like none.
Oh.
Yeah, and then, but it's...
How do their organs survive? Heat and cold.
They're in big trouble. And so just how people are like, oh, you're so lucky because you're not tempted by sugars because it's the same thing. People are like, oh, man, they're going to be ripped their whole life. The thing is, if they eat any excess of calories at all, it's immediately dangerous because it gets stored in their liver and stored in all their organs because there's nowhere else for it to go. So those people have to have the strictest of strict diets. So even though they have no fat on their body, they're like always a couple bites away from being in serious danger. So they're like in their own little personal prison. So same thing. People like look at it and think, oh, wow, you're going to be ripped and you can't store fat. And they're like, yeah, but if I overeat, I'll die. So like it's, you know, it's grass is always greener. They're not seeing it for how it really is. So.
I agree with you totally. I totally agree with you. But that's the great thing. For me, that's the great thing about the whole Venus system. If you go look at the people who've won this contest, placed, not won, placed, or previous contests, you will find somebody that you can relate to. And you'll find people that you can't relate to. I will never be 6 foot tall and lean like Naomi. I will never be ripped and buff like Roberta because I don't have that drive mentally to have that look. I will never be emaciated and thin looking. I'm a curvy chick. I mean, I've got TNA. I mean, they stick out. Alex calls me Judy with the booty. I mean, my whole life I've had ghetto booty. It's just the way that I'm drawn. But I can look on Venus and I can find somebody that looks better than me in their Venus metrics, or closer to their Venus metrics than I am, that has my kind of shape, wider shoulders, bigger butt, big calves, I have man calves, I have 14-inch calves. What woman do you know that has 14-inch calves genetically that doesn't work on them? Me. You know me. I have them. I'm drawn proportionately odd. So I love that I can look at Naomi and love her body of work. I can look at Roberta and love her body of work. And then I can look at Kimberly Kimmets and think, you know what? If I lost 20 more pounds, I would look that good. I identify with her because we're kind of shaped somewhat alike.
Okay, so if this sounds a little choppy, we just had a, I don't know how, the connection disconnected. So anyways, pick it up where you left off. We were talking about, you were just finishing kind of giving a few of the other Venus's props on having their own unique look and how you appreciate everybody's look, which is what we kind of say. Even 10 different girls at their metrics are all going to have their own look. So it's not like we're trying to, I wonder, I don't know, maybe you can help me with this. Did you ever misconstrue our point that everyone's going to look the same? Because I hope we did a good job of explaining that a bunch of girls at Venus are all going to have their own look.
No, I never misunderstood that. And the fact of the matter is, people are going to gravitate towards what they think that they can look like. I know I'm never going to be 6 foot tall. I know that that's not a look that I'm ever going to have. But I know that I can look like Kimberly, maybe close to Kimberly, maybe not as good. But I could look close to Kimberly if I lost 20 more pounds.
So there's lots of representative people in the community now that it's building up.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, yeah. And I don't feel like I have to look like any one person that has won or placed to be able to be at my own Venus metrics and look great and be happy with myself.
Mm-hmm. Hang on, I just realized I didn't have that going there. I can edit that in a minute. All right, well then, let's, we've been on for a while here. What's your, so two things. What's your goals moving forward, and then your advice for everybody listening?
Well, I am going to keep going forward until I get to my Venus waist, which is just right under 25 inches. When I was 18, my mother made my clothes, and I have my measurements from then. My waist was never smaller than 26 something. Mm-hmm. And she took it at the same place that you did, because back then waists were true waists.
Right.
So I am not sure how I'm going to get my waist under 25 inches, but I am certainly going to try. I think I might have to move my organs temporarily to my big booty as a storage area. But
I think they're working on that, actually.
I have heard you say stop working your abs and whatnot a little bit, but that I think is at a much leaner phase than I'm at right now. I think I still have a goodly amount of body fat that I have to get rid of before I can consider cutting anything out. I finished phase two twice. I liked it so much that I finished phase two twice. And in this Venus transformation contest, I did TRX, which was new to me, which I love. And I did the Venus circuits. And I did the Venus circuits. I did week one, phase one, or however you set it up, level one, all the way through. Then I did week one, level two, level three, level four. I did all Venus circuits.
Oh, you did? Plus,
yes. Okay. I did nothing but Venus circuits plus TRX for the competition.
Would you think of the intensity of the circuits? Did you like it?
Well, they were a little bit longer. They take an hour and a half instead of an hour. Mm-hmm. And the only problem that I had with them is they sort of put me back in that same mindset of training for up to 3 hours a day. I did finish them all. I did every single one of them in order, and then I was done. I'm done with them. Mm-hmm. So now what I do is I have my stack of workouts, phase one, phase two, and Venus circuits, in a pile of papers, and I say a little prayer, please don't let me get the 21 pyramid, dear God, please don't let me get the 21 pyramid. I pull a sheet of paper out, and I take it to the gym with me, and I do it.
That's awesome. And they're designed for that, right? That's the Lego block approach, yeah.
I don't do a whole week. I pick single individual workout, kind of in my head. I sort of know where phase one, phase two, and phase circuits fall in my mix of paperwork.
Yeah.
But I try to shuffle it up and I keep them face down and I don't look and I just pull one out. And when I pull the one out with the 21 repetition pyramid on it, I think, John Barbin, you are a sadistic man. You are a sadistic man. But I go do it and I feel better afterwards.
Good.
So I have to be a little careful because I will overtrain. Cardio type stuff does not make me hungry at all. I can cardio with you from the morning till night. Heavy, heavy muscle taxing exercises make me very hungry. So I'm kind of the opposite.
That's interesting that you know, but it's good that you've made a mental note of that. That's a good insight to have. Like, some people haven't even bothered to pay attention to it. So, but that's good to know. All right. So then what's your advice for everybody listening?
Well, my advice is don't feel like you're doing this alone, because you're never alone. You're only a text message, a Venus blog entry, a phone call away from having somebody to be right there with you, cracking the whip, being your cheerleader, being your inspiration, being your confidant, and being your buddy. You just don't have to do this alone. I walked into a gym with having looked at the videos and a piece of paper in my hand, and for the first time in over a year, I wasn't scared. I had a plan. I had a mission, and I had a plan that was going to get me to a look that I wanted to look like, and so I had confidence. So you don't go it alone. Listen to podcasts. Get a text buddy. Take your piece of paper into the gym and know that if you do it as written, you're going to be very, very happy with your results. And don't be afraid to mix and match. I get exercise ADD. I get very bored with things. Don't be afraid to skip a week and come back to it if mentally you don't have that week in you that week. It's okay. You don't have to do it in exactly the order that it's written. Or some days, split it up. I've said that to several ladies. If I don't have enough time, if I have 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the afternoon, I do 30 minutes in the morning and I do 30 minutes in the afternoon. It doesn't seem to matter.
Nope, doesn't matter at all. The work's still the work. You just got to get it done.
You just got to get it done. So, you know, if I get up and I can go to the gym and I've got 30 minutes, I go do it. Go do my yoga class, come home, have a little something to eat, go back at night with my son when he works out and, you know, finish it up. It's okay. I still get the same amount of work in. It's just not that – it's not that complicated, but exercise is easy for me. Logging calories is not easy for me. So everybody has challenges. So find someone whose challenges are different than yours or maybe the same as yours, and don't go it alone. There's no rules. There are no rules. There are calorie limits. And
yeah, I don't think everything. I like to say there's no rules. There's just boundaries. And then function within your boundaries.
Well, I'd say there's calorie limits and there's exercise limits.
Those are boundaries.
Boundaries, same thing. Yeah. You're right.
It might be an easier way to reframe it, like a freeing way. Me and Brad are working on that concept of, like, you set your boundaries, so your calorie limit is a boundary, and the amount of exercise you can do in a week before you kind of go nuts or overtrain, those are boundaries. And then you just bounce around inside your boundaries however you want. So there's no rules inside the boundaries, but you have to set some boundaries.
Have fun with it. Don't beat yourself up if you don't eat within your calories one day, or if you don't get your exercise in one day. Don't look at this like any form of punishment or any form of self-sabotage. Just have fun with it, because I walk into places all the time and people are like, "Wow, you've really lost weight." I lose a pound every couple of weeks. So in the grand scheme of things, these people are seeing me every day. All of a sudden, one day, notice, wow, you've lost a lot of weight. You're looking great. What are you doing? You look awesome. I had one lady say, "What's in your water bottle?" I'm like, really? You're going to walk up to a perfect stranger and say, "What's in your water bottle?" Come on. Have fun with it. Enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Just laugh at yourself. Laugh at everybody else. Get on the forums. Come have coffee with me on the forums in the morning. I promise I will spew coffee and laugh with you. There's nothing better than a morning coffee, buddy.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right, well, let's leave it at that. That was really good. All right, well, thanks for being on the call. And congratulations for placing in the contest. So for Judy Rabel, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index podcast.
Thanks, John.